Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, I'm going to be assessing the effect of President Zelensky's address to the United States Congress, which was just yesterday. So very significantly, this is the first visit that President Zelensky has paid anywhere outside the borders of Ukraine since this conflict began 301 days ago. So he crossed the border in Poland, and from Rzeszów, if I pronounce it correctly, he flew on a United States Air Force jet to Washington, D.C., and he arrived in the United States wearing his trade commander-in-chief of a country which is at war, which is indeed fighting for its life. This is a life and death struggle for the Ukrainians, and not just for Ukraine to exist as a sovereign nation, but I mean that the Ukrainians to defend themselves against genocide, because I think it's the United States has estimated that 40,000 Ukrainian civilians have been killed. Now, I know inevitably civilians are killed in wartime, but they are purposefully killed in many cases by the Russian military, rounded up, knowing that they're civilians, the men, women, and children, they're no threat to Russians, and nevertheless killing them in cold blood. This is no accident. It's not collateral damage. It's not a bullet ricocheting. It's not misidentifying people in the dark or something like that. It's willful murder, and it's happened again and again, and there's been absolute impunity. I haven't heard of a single Russian soldier who's faced the least disciplinary action for the murder of civilians, or indeed for rape, for plundering, for anything like that. And it's part of Putin's own publicly avowed strategy. He said it on television, to destroy a Ukrainian civilian heating and electricity infrastructure in order to freeze Ukrainian civilians to death. So Zelensky was there, and he gave a very warmly received address. He was cheered to the echo. There were standing ovations on several occasions. I think he missed a trick in not calling it Ukraine's War of Independence, which of course would really resonate with people in the United States. He correctly called out the Russian regime as a fascist one, and said that really this is America's war too, because, you know, if the Ruskies get away with this, they'll target other countries, other American allies. And I've got to say, we've got to praise America warmly, because about 80% of the military aid the Ukrainians have received is from the United States. And I'm afraid to say that's disgraceful from other NATO countries. The United Kingdom has been pretty good. Republic of Ireland, we're not in NATO. We've given a little bit, but we've got very small military. The French, with the same population as the United Kingdom, have only given about a quarter of what the UK has given. So some fairly large NATO countries are very behindhand on this. The Turks have given nothing. They've sold, I think, Bayraktar drones, I think, to the US, which has handed them on to the Ukrainians. But, you know, Turkey's sort of playing both sides of the street. Despite being a NATO country, it's not actually helped. It's not imposed any sanctions on Russia whatsoever, any travel restrictions. Admittedly, it's expedited that grain export deal, but that gives them maximum leverage in between the two. They are so trusted by Russia that they've actually played host to some peace talks earlier in the conflict. These peace talks obviously did not bear conflict, because really, Putin was wanting this to be a liquidator's audit when it came to Ukraine. So, Zelensky, he did very well. There's no doubt that there's genuine, zealous support for him. However, you know, on the fringes of American politics, both the far left Democrats and the most right wing Republicans, there are some doubts saying, you know, we can't be writing a blank check, we can't fund them forever. Now, this from a country which spends, my goodness, how many hundreds of billions of dollars is it every single year in their defense? And giving quite a lot to Ukraine, but, you know, it's not even 10% of the US military budget. Bear in mind, the United States is not in any conflicts at all at the moment, not even low-level stuff like in Afghanistan they were a few years ago. And it's really worth it for Ukraine to win. A defeat of Russia could topple the Putin regime, could lead to a less aggressive regime. It can scarcely lead to a more aggressive one. If Russia can't defeat Ukraine, how on earth could it take on NATO? It would also be a warning to countries like Iran. Iran could then be deprived of an ally. The US could concentrate its pressurizing Iran, although actually I think Western countries, including the United States, ought to have really held out the olive branch to Iran and incentivized them not to sell anything to Russia and to sell more oil and gas. It would also be a deterrent to China and so on, and maybe North Korea, because you see who America's potential adversaries are, and they're all on the side of Moscow in this illegal war of aggression. So yes, it's you know, US Congress is going to vote through this big defense package. The Patriot missile systems are being sent. Now, the Americans had serious misgivings about this. These are very pricey. These missiles are about $3 million a pop. So you don't want them to shoot just down something like a miner, like a drone, which is very, very cheap. And it requires an awful lot of training. They're also worried, what if this falls into Russian hands? Could it be used against them? Could the Russians reverse engineer it and develop their own sort of Patriot system? And the other thing is, this war is no end in sight. But because the Ukraine's held on initially, the arms shipments were there. NATO saw they weren't throwing away good money after bad. It wasn't just all going to fall into Russian hands. And the Russians have committed many atrocities, whereas Ukrainian armed military's conduct has been almost exemplary. Of course, no army is going to be absolutely perfect. You know, the hundreds of thousands of soldiers, there are going to be a few baddies in any army. And when they see the mounds of civilian corpses, when they hear that their wives or girlfriends have been raped or whatever, some of them are probably going to commit war crimes against the other side. I know it's morally wrong, but it almost inevitably happens. So he'll fly back to Ukraine soon. He didn't leave for various countries reasons. He didn't want to be seen to be abandoned his country. When he exits Ukraine, when he enters Ukraine, will the Russians try and kill him then? But obviously, Ukraine's got a very big land border with Poland. He could come back via Slovakia, Hungary, or Romania. I don't know. Or even Moldova, not Transnistria, with the illegally occupied bit where the Russian army is. So it'd be quite easy to slip back into the country. I wonder, is he going to come via London and suddenly address the United Kingdom Parliament? I don't think so, but this is a slim possibility. But why did he need to go, and why now? Because he sensed that, you know, US is not as supportive as it was. You look at the opinion of Republican voters, 80% of whom in March said, yeah, the United States should arm Ukraine. Only 50% do now. He's aware that the West has short attention spans, and he knows that's what Putin is counting on. So the Russian top brass realized, you know, they can't win this quick. There's going to be no blitzkrieg. The only way is to win over time, to grind them down. Now, the Ukrainians have proved they patently are resolute, but the Russians rightly doubt the will of the West to sustain this, to pick up the bills, especially in economically straitened times. So if they can just protract the conflict, Westerners will eventually get bored. They will vote into office governments which are feeble enough, which are naive enough to cave into Putin's aggression and say, oh, give peace a chance. So the war carries on. And obviously things are going badly for Russia. Yevgeny Prigozhin says even women ought to be released from prison to fight. Now, Russia's a land of very macho attitudes. So yes, there've always been women in the Russian military since the First World War, but very few, and very few in combat roles. So they're quite sexist. So it shows their desperation. They're obliged to resort to this. And Prigozhin said that they actually would serve in combat roles like being snipers, not just non-combatant roles. So Yevgeny Prigozhin's private military company Wagner was highly effectual, but it would only recruit usually Russian soldiers who'd serve for at least 10 years, sometimes Belarusians, Serbians, other nationalities. But now they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. They just take anyone with little or no military experience. So they're no higher quality than ordinary Russian military units. They appear to be suffering just the same as shortages of equipment and poor morale, poor leadership, lack of training as the mainstream Russian military. And Wagner Group is really effectively just an extension of the Russian military. So anyway, it'll sustain Western support for a while. But it was a highly effective oration that Zelensky delivered to the United States Congress. I think it wasn't quite as ringing as it could have been. Remember, he is an actor. All right, he was doing this in English in his third language. But I thought there were some good lines that his speechwriters missed. So he's really just got to make sure that support keeps coming, because the Russians are also worried about this. Can they sustain morale? Can they increase production? And Western countries just really need to redouble their military manufacturing to make sure that enough shells, missiles, ammunition, everything else to just outproduce Russia, which they very, very easily can do. Russia's got 140 million people. NATO's got 800 million people. You know, Russia's economy is worth how many? Is it $2 trillion a year? The US economy is worth something like $23 trillion a year, and there are many more NATO countries. So outproducing Russia is actually easy, and Russia's been obliged to force to buying things from Iran and North Korea. And the United States has today formally accused North Korea in breach of UN sanctions of selling military equipment to Russia, and Russia, of course, has vehemently denied it, even though Russia actually voted for those sanctions in the first instance. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Please make sure you donate to me on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.